All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
Welcome back to Wheel Wednesday. We're back with you. Nick is over there. I'm Scott. Got confused for a second. But I don't know, man. We're here. It's Wednesday morning. It's a little early.
Welcome to Wheel Wednesday number 5.
I'm glad you're keeping track. It's a little early, so I'm kind of struggling a little bit to kind of get my bearings on. I feel like...
Yeah, I'm kind of hungry. I should have had breakfast.
I went from...
breakfast after this.
I went from trying to get some emailing done and work on a project, and then we're like, let's just do this. So, I don't know. I'm sure it will get better as we go.
Hopefully.
So, let's start out with some things real quick. Right now... as we've mentioned a few times. So if you're not listening to these podcasts, if you happen to tune into this one on YouTube or iTunes, and this is kind of your first one, first, welcome. Second, make sure you tune into these because we do drop some exclusive things. We talked about the Wheel Fitment giveaway kind of first and foremost last month.
Fitment Industries giveaway.
That's what I meant.
Fitment Industries did a giveaway.
Still early.
That ended last week.
Right.
What was it? I think it ended 11 Central Standard Time.
Something like that last week. But they picked a winner, Dylan. So that's cool. Can't wait to see.
I didn't check who the winner was. I completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
I just knew it was happening.
But then we also told you last week about an exclusive thing that we're going to be doing. And when I say exclusive, it was we exclusively let on for the first time in the podcast that we would be doing a wheel giveaway in August. So just to recap on that, you can find some more information on it from the last podcast. But basically, go to koenigwheels.com/subscribe. Subscribe for our newsletter. Then go subscribe to our YouTube channel. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick one person that are subscribed to both at the end of August. So hopefully right around the first week in September, we'll make the announcement. And we're going to basically choose one of those winners to win a set of wheels.
Nice.
And the only caveat I'll put on it to it, and I'm sorry and I apologize to anybody who's getting upset. Right now we're doing, you know, United States and Canada. So my bad, all those people all over the world that...
Sorry, all our international followers and
super
guests.
Sorry about that. One day we're going to be able to pull it off. I promise.
Eventually.
One day. Right. So today's topic is lightweight wheels or wheel weights or however you want to put it together. Right.
Lightweight. I think lightweight wheels sounds better.
We get a lot of questions about wheel weights. We get a lot of questions about lightweight wheels. We have a lot of people that comment on things, and they're so driven on lightweight wheels that it almost becomes difficult to reason with them. So
what does it even mean to have a lightweight wheel? What makes a wheel light? What's the difference between, like, I don't know, if this wheel was lighter than this one, why would that one be lighter? Like, what factors into having a lighter wheel, and like what are the benefits of having a lighter wheel?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff. So we'll try to break it down a little bit more organized than that. But I think the first thing is, you know, when we talk about having a lightweight wheel, what really is the thing we're talking about? And the truth is, it's very subjective and very comparative, right? There's no definition, you know, like a sports car is only two seats. Don't argue with me. I'm just giving an example. But what I'm saying is, like, there's nothing with lightweight wheels that says 13 pounds and under is a lightweight wheel, whereas 13 pounds and over is a heavyweight wheel, right?
Right.
That doesn't exist. So people that are looking for wheels, I think when they compare them to other wheels, and, you know, there's factors, whether it's their budget or they're looking for a forge wheel, they're looking for a flow form wheel, or they're not looking for any of those wheels because they're looking for the best bang for the buck kind of thing. I think that what they're doing is they're comparing, you know, like manufacturers, like wheel styles, and they're
trying to see which one is the lighter weight based off of their budget, what they can buy,
sure,
and what will be.
Yep. Yeah, and so I guess we often get the question, and it's out there. I mean, there's a lot of information out there, so I understand that some of this is going to be redundant. But people say, what are the advantages to having a lightweight wheel? So let's let's run through some of those in their basic points. We got rotation, a reduction in rotational mass. Whenever you take weight off of parts of the drivetrain that spin the crankshaft, you pick up power. Whenever you take off of rotational mass near the hubs, near the wheels, it's less weight that has to get spun.
What is rotational mass? That's the weight of the wheel with the tire, total weight of the...
Right. So okay. Everything kind of, brake weight, rotor weight...
Tire weight,
wheel weight, lug nuts. I mean, like anything, spacers, anything that would kind of be on the hub. Remember, you have to have power to spin that and propel
that
power.
So all of that factors into the rotational mass of the...
Right, and then you'll get into things like drivetrain rotational mass. That's why you hear people go into carbon fiber drive shafts or different things like that.
Okay.
They're trying to reduce the amount of weight that they have to start to spin and move and keep moving through power of the engine. So at some point, what ends up happening is there's a loss of power for every time you add extra weight into those pieces because you got to spin them. You got to make power to spin them through the drivetrain. Right.
If you only have so much horsepower, the more weight you add to the back, the harder it is to push.
More weight you add to any of those corners, you gotta drive it to push it. So, and you know, obviously the same thing goes along for vehicle weight, but rotational mass is kind of one of the things that you can actually feel the most.
Okay.
And that's so one of the benefits, just to recap, is with a lighter weight wheel is that you're going to reduce rotational mass. And when you reduce that mass, you're actually going to pick up a little bit of power. That's marginal, but definitely there's some other advantages. Obviously, fuel economy is an advantage. You're going to pick up some fuel economy. I mean, remember, that mass, that inertia it takes to move that mass, when you're on the highway, it will require less effort to keep that in constant movement.
Question.
Yeah.
Would that change your run on a dyno, let's say? Would you get different numbers if you had a lighter rotational mass than if you had...
I think you're going to find people... This test has been done to death, and I think any time I've ever really seen it done, the amount of increase in actual power that you've seen on a dyno is very marginal. But I mean, I think it's there, but I think it's marginal. I think
Because, I mean, when you're on the dyno, you don't always get the exact same number. It changes...
Well, but even run after run, I mean, what I'm saying is I think that going between a heavy, I mean, unless it's so dramatically different. I mean, you're talking
like
about
a 5 pound difference on every single
wheel.
I mean,
I think it even have to be more than that to really have a substantial horsepower change. But with that said, most of that horsepower that they talk about is peak horsepower. So you may feel it in different spots, especially like when you're first starting to get the car movement. You know what I mean? Moving. So maybe the graph does change in certain spots, but your top end power, once you have that momentum kind of moving, I don't know that it stays
the same.
It's marginal. So that's not really what it is. I mean, anytime you reduce weight from a car, you know, you drop 100 pounds out of a car, the car will get faster. But as far as how much power it builds,
I got you.
It's marginal. And so people may argue with me there, but I've seen that test done over a few times and it seems to be pretty marginal.
Okay.
Within the realm. But the things that you do feel, you know, when you reduce the weight and some of the rotational mass on your vehicle, whether it be a front, even on a rear-wheel drive car or in the rear, there are some things that you start to feel. You do feel a little bit more in acceleration. You do feel a little bit more in the turn-in part. You know, the car seems to turn in better, especially like, you know, for those guys who are autocrossing or tracking and stuff like that. And you also have that feeling of it's a little bit easier to stop. Right? So the same acceleration that you kind of feel, you also feel a little bit, because it's your stop, you have less rotational mass to stop.
Oh, okay.
You know, and like I said, does some of these things become marginal? It just depends how drastic the change is. So yeah, I would say on some extent, there is some marginal things to it, but there's that. And then there's one other benefit that I'll think that when you start to really build a car on a specific level, a very high level, one of the things I think that you'll notice is that it takes – well, not notice. One of the things that happens is you take stress, extra stress off the drivetrain, okay? So when you do that, one of the things that ends up happening is when you talk about cars that are built to a pretty high-end level, you're reducing it's just another feather in the cap of trying to keep the car reliable, sustainable, right. less braking, you know what I mean? Like less, you know, breakdowns and mechanical failures and stuff like that. So I think it's all part of being a building a well-built car, right?
Well, I mean, all right. So then you would definitely notice it more on a much less powered car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very much so. Like if you have like
I have noticed this on on the Miata.
Okay.
On my first one, I put a set of widened steelies on there.
Okay.
Holy shit, those wheels would not spin for anything.
Right. These are heavy.
They were so heavy. Like you really, really had to like beat on it for them to spin. And then I put the stock wheels on there and they were just totally fine.
Yeah. You know, and I think if you put on let's say you have a Toyota Camry, like an early 90s Camry or something, and it has like 118 horsepower to the wheels and a four-cylinder. and then,
you know. Those are the best cars.
Oh, yeah. But, and then you go ahead and you, you know, put on, you know, you go from like, let's say a 14 or 15-inch stock wheel, you know, which probably was like a 5.5 or 6-inch.
Something like that.
With, and then you go
like
to
a 16x8 wheel or a 17.
Or go to a 17.8 or something like that. That's a fairly bulky wheel. Like there's no doubt that you're going to feel a loss of acceleration. You just will.
Yeah.
Right. So that's obviously something to keep in mind. And I think the problem with lightweight wheels, and I think one of the problems that people have is they get super ultra obsessed with the weight.
Right.
Right? They're like, they'll pick a whole wheel that maybe they don't even like as much as another wheel.
Because it's lighter than
But lighter the other by wheel. Like half a pound or 1 pound or, you know, quarter of, you know,
all they have to do
quarter
just,
of a pound.
All they had to do was just crank up the boost a little bit. Just right. a little bit.
And
instead I had the wheel right. they liked.
So, and those are some things that you need to consider. Those right. are some things that need to be considered, right? If you have a car that has the ability to make power, if it makes a lot of power, you're not going to feel 1 pound. And I understand if you're a race guy that's going for every single edge.
Then all right, fine.
There's a place you know, for you. But if you're going to be running your street, what's interesting to me is that with all these people that are obsessed about wheel weights, and we get them every day, and I'm not knocking you for it. Like, I get it. I've built cars myself. I get into the same kind of rut of really being super conscious about, am I getting the best part? Am I getting the best part? Am I getting the best part? But then comes this thing of, are you going to use it? Do you really need that? Is it going to change your competitive advantage? Is there anything there that's going to really...
Is it really beneficial for you to...
To obsess about it. I'm not saying don't go for the lowest weight you can, but if like there's one wheel you like way more than another and the difference is 0.75 pound, the odds that you're going to feel it on 99% of the projects in vehicles is almost nil. So I'm not saying that to not pick a lightweight wheel. I'm just saying keep that in mind. Don't stress yourself out. Give yourself a little leeway when you're choosing a wheel. If you like one design better than another, and it doesn't have to be our wheels, but anybody's wheels, like don't stress out on that unless you are have cut all the weight out of the car. Like, I mean, you're talking about like I need every tenth of a second I can possibly squeeze out on the racetrack.
Right.
Right? And then the other one thing to keep in mind is people seem to be ultra focused on the wheel weight and then totally miss and never think about other parts. Like,
does the wheel even fit my car?
Is
it proper for my car?
I'm talking about weights. Like, people will say, like, they won't, like, in other words, they don't weigh rotors.
Oh, right.
The difference between a two-piece rotor.
So they pay so much attention on the weight of the wheel that they don't take into factor, you know, maybe the weight of their tires or the weight of their rotors, their brakes, and stuff like that. Right. Okay, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I mean, you know, so look. Rotors, there's a big difference. I know on a lot of cars, if you get like a, you know, spend, obviously they cost money, like, but there's a big difference between, you know, two-piece rotors and some of the replacement rotors. There's a big difference between, I don't want to say even calipers because that gets a little sketchy, but like there are companies like Wilwood that do make super lightweight calipers for that sense or make brake kits that are like that or Lug nuts. I mean, lug nut weights have. I mean, they're going to be marginal, but there is a difference. I mean, if you're going to add it all up, putting spacers on a car.
I was just about to say, what about spacers?
Like, yeah, they go for the lightest weight wheel possible,
and then they slap spacers on.
Then they add a 15-millimeter spacer on. They weigh a pound and a quarter apiece. So,
and sometimes it's because, you know, maybe that other wheel they had was the proper fitment and style that they wanted, and they went with the lighter weight wheel. But guess what? Now it's even heavier because you threw those spacers on there to get the fitment that the other wheel had. So now you have a wheel that you're not happy with, mm-hmm. and now it weighs heavier. Well, your rotation mass is heavier.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're all things to consider. And again, I'm not saying don't consider them. I'm certainly not knocking anybody that does any of these things. I'm just saying sometimes when you're building a car, sometimes when you're out there putting parts on your car and you're saving up and you work job after job and you sweat, like, I mean, seriously, like, I'm a car guy. I've been there. Like, you work your butt off to build your car. Sometimes cut yourself some slack. If there's a part that's going to save you some money that you still like the appearance of, and you're talking about a difference of 0.75 pounds, take a breath. Ask yourself, do I need it? Do I want it? You know, and that doesn't matter whether we're talking about – there's different levels here, you know? I mean, look, there's forged wheels. There's slow form wheels. There's traditional cast type wheels. And, you know, it may be – let's say you're just looking at something with Koenig. And let's say you're talking about – picking a wheel that's between, let's say, a lockout and then a hypogram. And you like both styles and that both finishes are cool for you, but the thing that's really holding you up is that the hypogram is a lot lighter. And I say that, you know, let's say 4 pounds lighter, whatever it is, a wheel. Well,
is it really?
I mean, it could be as much. It depends on what size. I mean, everything's okay. Relative, right? But if that's the case, then what I would say to you is if you like both styles and you're going to primarily drive on the street and you're just so, you know, autocross once in a while and you're not super obsessed with it and it allows you to save some money, get some lockouts. No problem. Like, just don't stress yourself as a car guy. You can always change wheels. You can always upgrade wheels. You can always sell what you have and get something new. Just make sure that it fits the form and function.
And you're happy with what you buy.
And you're happy. Right?
I mean, at the end of the day, why else would you build a car to be happy with it?
Just be happy. Don't drive yourself nuts. But there is a place for that lightweight wheels, for those lightweight wheels.
Right.
And there is a place. I mean, listen, we just touched upon it. There's forged wheels. There's flow form wheels. There are traditional cast wheels, and they're all going to come with pros and cons. A lot of the cons in some of those things, as you go up to flow formed, as you go through flow formed into forged, are the cost. And listen, if you have a set of, you know, of Volk wheels. Listen, they make great products. This is not we're not here to knock any other company. This is really just about spreading information.
Right.
Right? Then great. Well, you know, well done. Like, you know, if that's what you choose to race on, if you're a guy that is going to autocross and needs 10 wheels or 12 wheels or whatever it may be, and, you know, you need to keep it in budget, but you still need to have some lightweight product, Flowform is a great place for you to be. And, you know, but there's still plenty of guys that run on traditional cast wheels and autocross all the time and do just fine with them. So, I don't know, keep that in mind. There is a difference there. And, you know, I think it's just fair for people to really think about what fits their car, what's their needs, what kind of use are they doing? Are they street? Are they primarily race? You know, do they have a class? I mean, that's another thing.
What, you know, having a certain class?
Yeah, spec class. Spec class is a good example. There are some classes, let's say an FRS spec class, they may limit you to an 8-inch wide wheel. You have to have a specific offset requirement, and you can't exceed a certain amount of weight with, you know, wheels. I think, I don't know if it's tire, but wheel weights and lug nuts, right?
That sounds very, like,
well, so what I guess what I'm saying is, so then even in that, it becomes what's the lightest weight wheel I have, but there's also minimum weights. Like Miata spec class, I think you have to be – spec Miata, I think you have to have a minimum of a 13-pound wheel. So there's some considerations there. So, you know, everything is not created equal. You have to do a little bit of homework. You have to kind of look at exactly what your use is, what you're racing with. You know, some there's some race series like, you know, let's say drag, drift, oval racing. They're going to have different areas where one is better than the other. And in oval racing, I've heard people say that they don't really want the lightest weight wheel possible, because it actually causes them to have a lot more spinning issues and stuff like that. So they go with actually a wheel that's a little bit more medium weight. In drag racing, you know, they tend to go with really lightweight wheels. But, you know, we've seen people, you know, have issues with, you know, hookup and different things and actually change wheel weights because of it. I mean, I'm not the appropriate guy to do it. My take on things versus a Stefan Papadakis would be miles different. You know, in drifting, it seems not really to matter as much on weight as long as you have the power to turn the wheels.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so for example, with drifting, you don't have the problem so much in Pro, Pro 2, and even some of the higher-end Pro-Am cars, but you will have the problem in some of the guys that are not really in Pro-Ams yet or just starting to compete or having drift days.
Because the cars aren't as powerful?
Yeah, because if you take your Miata and go drifting, if you change you having a lightweight wheel so you can keep the wheel to spin when you don't have a lot of power is important.
Yeah.
You put that heavy weight, you put the heavy wheel on, now you try to use all that little bit of power to keep those wheels spinning through.
Right, which is what we were just talking about.
Yeah. Then it becomes
it sucks.
Tough. Right.
It is so hard.
Yeah.
It's like it's not impossible, but the car just feels so heavy and
yeah,
it's not good.
No,
it's not good. Especially if you have very little power.
I agree. And I don't know. You know, like I said, I don't think today's topic was meant to really drive into each one of these topics specifically and give you a ton of information about it. But I think it was kind of like a little bit of a car guy address. Like, hey, we're with you. We build cars. We get it. We know what it's like to be a car guy. Consider the things that are important for your build. Apply them for your build. Understand that there's some benefits, but there's pros and cons to everything. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah. Obsessing over the weight of the wheel is just like, you know, if you have some power behind it and you're doing a decent enough build, you know, the weight shouldn't really matter.
It's not going to matter as much.
Well, yeah, it's not going to matter as much. And then also, you know, I would rather have something that I like how it looks on the car than this, and this is just my personal opinion, but I would rather have something that I know, like I'll look at the back of the car and be like, damn, that looks good. Then it looks all right, but the wheels are really light.
Yeah.
You know?
And here's the thing. Like I said, there's a time and a place. I'm not knocking lightweight wheels. Our flow form wheels specifically, here comes the right hook. Our flow form wheels specifically offer a incredible, incredible, incredible value for the weight that they're at. But, you know, between that, everybody's got a budget.
What are some of our flow form wheels?
You mean
unintentional product placement?
Well, I mean, look, you can see them on the website.
I mean, yeah. Well, no.
We got some.
That's budget work.
Let's see here. I said we would end
do
with
some
questions. So.
We have questions.
Yeah, I took a few questions that came off of social media.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how beneficial they are, but we're going to answer some of them.
All right. You feel like we covered everything on lightweight wheels? I mean,
No, we didn't. I mean, we absolutely didn't. But the truth is, like I said, I think that we can go into detail on some of these topics on their own type of podcast. That's how specific, you know, how much information there could be on them.
Right.
I just think it was a good way to touch base and kind of, you know, tell people like, hey, look, consider what you're using them for. Consider your budget. Consider if it really matters to you. Consider what type of racing you're doing. Consider that there's other parts that you could weigh, like tires.
Yeah, the other factors.
I have seen tires, same size, weigh 8 pounds different.
Damn, that's a lot.
But then people, they don't weigh the tires. And they don't consider the weight of the tire because they're like, oh, it's just a tire. I got to pick the right, you know, what I can afford. But then they'll scrutinize for a quarter of a pound.
Yeah, and if you pick the tire you can afford and only the tire you can afford, that, you know, chances are you might wind up getting like a really, really heavy tire.
And
the lightweight wheel doesn't even matter at that point.
Right. And, you know, the one thing you should consider is that every tire has its own function too, right?
Right.
Like you may have to choose an 8-pound heavier tire if that tire gives you the most amount of grip for what you're doing, and it just makes sense. So again, it's really tough without looking at every single aspect of very specific examples. But, you know, I just wanted to kind of go through some of this stuff and say, hey, look, we get a lot of questions about wheel weights. I think there's a lot of people that get obsessed with wheel weights when they're making their wheel decision. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm not knocking it. I just think be reasonable to yourself, because at the end of the day, you're the one spending the money to buy those wheels.
Right.
Is that fair?
I think so.
All right. So, and if anybody wants, if there's any information on anything that we cut, like kind of dabbled through that you want more information about, just comment
email
below.
Us or DM us.
Just comment or below. Comment.
Either one. All three.
Yeah, and if you're
all
on
three are
the,
acceptable.
If you're on iTunes, just go ahead and go over to YouTube podcast and comment there too.
There you go. All right. So the first question we have is the Hypergram your lightest wheel?
So the answer is no, but it tends to be of the lighter flow form wheels that we have in a lot of sizes.
I was just about to say, would that depend on the size?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. obviously if you have like a 15-inch yeah. Hypergram, that's a lot lighter than like
well,
20-inch.
And so it depends.
Something else.
And I'll give you an example. Like, you know, let's say a 15-inch Helium versus a 15-inch Dial-In or a 15-inch, you know, Hypergram, you might be talking about, you know, 15.6.5, 15.7, 15.7.5. So saying is it the lightest weight wheel, it's kind of a vague question, but
right.
We have weights on our website for the most part. So you can take a look, find the size that you want, compare the sizes. Hypergram and flow forming does tend to be the lighter of those sizes that we made there. But a lot of the flow form wheels are so marginally close. And, they, you know, if like, again, if they're within a half a pound or a quarter of a pound or 3/4 of a pound or a pound, that's got to be up to you to decide if there's one style you like more than the other.
All right. Next question. Do different lug nut weights matter? I mean, we kind of just spoke about that.
A little bit.
It matters in rotation mass. So,
But again, I think it's the same way with wheels.
The same thing with wheels. It's not something to really obsess over trying to get the lightest one because, mm-hmm. you know, you got – If you're gonna obsess about it, you need to factor all of those things in.
Well, and I've seen race guys that are looking for every bit of advantage, and they use, you know, I've heard those titanium lug nuts and different things, and yeah, they are light, like you barely feel like you're holding anything. But you know, I mean, for if you're gonna be taking wheels on and off and on and off and on and off, like, and you are on a budget, picking up a good set of, let's say, I don't want to give a, but like Gorilla Steel open ended race lug nuts. Allow you a lot of reliability. You know, aluminum lug nuts, while they're lighter, they tend to fatigue quicker and start to have issues where you start to see some of them stripping out a little bit and stuff like that. So,
nice. I was using your face ID.
Appreciate it. All right.
I was going to say something on that, on the lug nuts. I got distracted by the face ID. Oh, well, I guess it's not important. All right. How come some flow form wheels are heavier than others?
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with with any wheel. When you look at style and design of a wheel, there are a lot of things there that will dictate how much a wheel will weigh. And I don't want to get too technical. Maybe we'll do a podcast on this at some point. But if you see, you know, basically the more material that's needed for a design or a wheel, the heavier the wheel's most likely going to weigh. So, you know, if you look at a wheel like an Ampliform, it's more of a mesh design. You could see there's more mass there on the design. So for that design to be there, it's going to weigh a little bit more than, let's say, a Hypergram, where it's a little bit more spoky and has a lot more openness to the face. There's some other things that have to do with when we test a wheel and different things before it ever gets made. Design things, like sometimes wheels with lips tend to they're able to be made a little bit lighter, so that's why sometimes we put a little bit little lips on even the flow form wheels. But again, that's getting pretty technical. But basically, each design style wise can have a serious impact on how a wheel weighs. So, you know, it's all part of it.
It locked again. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. For those of you listening on iTunes, I keep sticking Scott's phone in his face so it
unlocks. That's true. He's holding my phone.
Yeah. That way, you know, they can come over to the YouTube channel and they can see me sticking your phone in your face. All right.
Exciting.
What is the lightest 15-inch wheel?
Again, this depends on size.
Depends on the size, if the width of it. Yep.
Right. I mean, so I would say if you're looking for 15, 6 and a half, I think helium is an extremely lightweight wheel. It's not flow formed, but it is light. I think it's like 11.4 pounds or something.
What about 8? Lightest 15 by 8 wheel.
15. I would say lightest 15, 8 wheel is most likely the Koenig dial in. I think it's like 12 pounds even, but like I know that the Koenig dial in, and I think 15.7, I think is like 10.9 or something like that. So again, it does depend on your width and your size, and you know the hypergram in 15.75 is pretty light. So yeah, I mean, it just depends on your size. Decide what size you need and do some research from there.
All right. The next question: what does projected weight mean on your website?
Yeah, that's fair.
What does projected weight mean on your website?
So basically what happens is when we start to produce a wheel and we're in that stage where we go to production and we haven't brought the wheels in to our warehouse yet, there's a time period where the projections are based off of what we call FEM and computer-aided modeling. So they're usually almost spot on. They're usually very close. Every once in a while, there's a variance because we might have made a change after that FEM or the computer-aided modeling was done. But basically, we know roughly how much a wheel is going to weigh before we ever build it. So what we do when we announce a wheel, because it's technically a few months by the time we announce a wheel at SEMA or so to the time we actually get them into stock, what we do is we basically put the projected weights up so people could start getting an opinion about if this is what they want to buy. And then as we have a chance to weigh each one of those wheels real time, we go ahead and replace those projected with actual weights.
Okay.
That's what it is.
All right. Next question. Why is hypergram 18 by 10.5 and 18 by 9.5 so close in weight? It's an inch wider. Is that because of the flow forming technique?
No. So what happens is on wheels like the Hypergram and 18.9.5, basically we use one mold to do 18.8.5 and 18.9.5 in the Hypergram, which basically means is that, you know, if you look at how flow forming works, we have a video on our YouTube channel that kind of gives you a quick demonstration of kind of what it is. But basically, a flow form wheel starts out at a narrower width.
Yeah, and then it's stretched
and
out.
Then right, and then the dies are basically extrapolated out on the barrel, so we actually drag it to its final width. Now, what ends up happening is when you use one mold like that, there's always going to be some variance, and the thicker the pad, the mounting pad. And if this sounds weird to you, just go look at our wheel offset video. It kind of explains this. But basically, you'll see that when you go from, like, let's say, an 18.5, 25 to a 35 or whatever it may be, basically what happens is there's more mass in there on that pad. You know what I mean? Like, 25 to 35 is 10 millimeters. That means the pad's going to be thicker. The wheel actually has more material to go.
Okay, so
the PCD, to drop the PCD in.
Okay, so then even though they're used with the same mold, it's the depth on the PCD that would change
the
weight. The
mounting pad might be a little thicker, you know, not through the lug hole area, but like basically what happened to make
the,
that offset.
The mounting pad on the rear to make the proper offset.
Yep, so there's more material in there. So what ends up happening is, you know, when you start to go 18.9.5 at a 25 roughly, you're going to get one weight. And then the 18.10.5, it's a B profile. We primarily made it only to be 18.10.5 at a 25. There's not changes. There's not, you know, so we design it to have as little, and you can see the PCD area is not that deep because we made the wheel concave.
Right.
And when we did that, what ends up happening is there's just extra aluminum that's not necessary there because we don't have extra depth to travel in on the PCD, and mm-hmm. the pad's not nearly as thick. It doesn't have to be because there is no offset change. It's just a 25. And so sometimes what ends up happening is, If we can make every single mold for every single style and offset, just one mold for an 18.5 ET25, one mold for an 18.9.5 ET35, you would see that the weights would come down even a little bit more.
Right.
And so this is a good example, you know, the 18.10.5 at a 25, because we made that mold very specific for that one size. It ended up being almost very, very close to the 18.9.5 ET25.
Because they're on the same mold.
Because they're not on the same mold.
Because they're not on the same mold.
Right. Okay. And the 18-10.5 ET25 really has its own mold just for that size. And we also do the 18x11 at a 15.
Which size did you ask about? He said 9.5 and 10.5, right?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So, but that the ten and a half.
Okay.
Right. So the 10.5 and the 18x11 in the hypergram at a 15, they share the same mold. So, I mean, that doesn't matter, but that's why that's the answer to the question. That is the reason why the 18.9.5
is so close in weight to the
18.10.5, even though the 10.5 is an inch wider.
Because they use the same mold.
Because they don't use the same mold.
They don't use the same mold. Sorry.
You have killed. People are struggling right now. but that's why. There is a reason for it. It's not. But we've had people email and say, well, is that a mistake? And it's not. It's just the way it is.
Right.
Was that it?
Yeah, those were all the questions.
Man, we did it.
That was pretty fast. But
that's it. Listen.
Is that it?
Make sure you check out. Make sure you subscribe. Do all that stuff. Push the bells. Don't push whatever he's about to say. And then on top of it. Remember, we have that wheel giveaway going on right now on our YouTube channel. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel and to our newsletter.
The newsletter is later.
Letter.
The newsletter is koenigwheels.com/subscribe. Correct.
Correct. Correct.
There we go.
Yep. So go go hit those things up. Subscribe there. If you're on YouTube and you want to subscribe to us on iTunes, that would be like. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you can listen to us in the car. Save data from streaming. Just streaming audio instead of video.
You can listen it's a lot better than
seeing our faces.
Yeah.
Well, if they feel like seeing our faces, they can just come over to YouTube. They can see me constantly trying to unlock your phone by going like this to your
I would skip face. Looking at our faces and just go straight through downloading the audio version only. Anyhow, that's it. You have anything else you want to add?
I think that's it.
All right, cool. Listen, thanks for tuning in to Wheel Wednesday. We appreciate it. If you want to see more information on the podcast, go over to koenigwheels.com/podcast. Make sure you subscribe, do all that cool things. We appreciate it. We'll catch you back here next Wednesday.
And hit the bell. Hit the bell, too, so you can get notified when we upload stuff.
We appreciate the bell. Anyhow, thanks a lot. We'll catch you out next Wednesday.